I read the Bible. I read the Bible. And, for the ninth time. And I have a different interpretation. So then you need to say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. John, let's read 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. Let's read 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. I did this Tuesday with a guy named Fred. Not smart. I didn't say it, you'd be wondering. That would be better, Fred. Another guy named Fred. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Old favorite. And I said to him, okay, you have yours and I have mine. You said that. Okay? Let's see what this verse says. Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That says, so Paul's doing it on his own authority. He said no. He said he's doing it based on Christ. I said, hey, I wouldn't have said the same thing. Where do we get that from? The Holy Spirit whisper in your ear? No, he jumped off the page. I said, and you read it. That you all agree. No, that you all can have your own interpretation. Literally, that you all speak the same thing. That there be no divisions among you. Well, we can have a son, and that is an interpretation. And that is a judgment. Said yes, and that is a judgment. And he said, okay, among you. That you be made complete the same mind and same judgment. He said, whoops. By the way, what I'm doing here, I'm getting you busy with you saying what I'm saying, you saying what I'm saying. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I said, now you're going to respect me, see, I don't know. Well, he believes God said it. Now you're going to respect it. Remember we gave that illustration? Jimmy Carter said that next week he wants everybody to have two cars to sell them. Sell one. Everybody's got three, sell two. Everybody's just going to have one car. Now, if we see it in the news tomorrow, would you believe Jimmy Carter said it? Will you respect it? Sure, I will. Yeah, sure. One of those of you that only have one car or no car, you find it very easy. Those of you that have two or three cars, question. Is respecting and believing the same thing? Are they two different things? I mean, if I tell you, look, I want everybody, every fellowship, this is a lot of fun. Look, everybody, we all take our clothes off and we roll around the backyard and sell, get really cold. Then we stand naked in front of the wood stove. Do you believe I just said that? Some of you are going, wow, I ever
would. No, yeah. I don't believe you said
that. Did you hear me say it?
No.
Do you believe I said it?
No.
How many of you respect it?
Absolutely.
And will honor it with your obedient faith?
The light and the sun.
I believe it all falls.
Yeah, you will.
I think thank you, Lord. Doesn't make someone want that an animal.
She's even blushing.
No. It's just something I think is going to be really ridiculous. As a matter of fact, I made it up as I was going along.
Thank you.
I hope you.
So now, the point is this, though. The point is, God does it all the time.
I'm like cold.
Now, the question is,
are you going with those?
No, making things up as he goes along. Question is, you see the difference between respecting and believing that somebody said something. Okay, now, I've given on Lawrence the other night another example. I forgot, even forget now what it was. At your house, we were talking about something, not that Lawrence had a problem with, but dealing with somebody else. I brought it up again in a discussion about respecting, or how I was talking to someone. I think I was talking about this guy with it. Yeah. And I gave this other man an illustration between respecting and believing. And but anyway, I didn't give him the naked wood stove, but an illustration like that. That's what I'm saying. What?
You talked about
not with a naked wood stove.
No.
I love this. We've got a new thing to refer to in the congregation. 2 months from now, I get a letter down there at Sunset. And just by the same example, in the naked wood stove, I'm going to be reading my mail. I'm going to be saying, what is going on?
Wow, it is cold down here. I mean, that was like ice. iced coffee. That came down hot.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's
you get the illustration there.
Yeah.
So now the question is this. Jesus said, the only way is in the truth is in him, you've got to abide in the truth, in the doctrine. You've got to be in that form of doctrine, the faith, there's only one way, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. What about those that got another? Another faith, another God. I mean, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, the Father of all. I mean, if you can get two faiths out of that, I can get two gods.
Anybody who doesn't believe what the Bible says is
different
than what the Bible says, and that's wrong.
Now, why do we say that? Because if it's a matter of opinion or because of proof? Evidence. I mean, there is more historical testimony that Jesus was raised from the dead than you can produce the fact that you were born with a birth certificate, than you've got for your birth certificate, than being valid. There is more manuscript confirmation for the New Testament reliability than for your birth certificate. And right now, as a matter of fact, if you want to adopt a kid, you can have a birth certificate made up so they never know. That's right. As far as they know, you know, that woman was pregnant. You can have that done right now, legally. Okay? Now, so, I mean, there's more manuscript. You can't get around it. So, prove where you were born. I can prove easier that Jesus was raised from the dead. In a court of law, my evidence would be stronger. And stronger than any atheist against the resurrection. But they tried. For 2,000 years, they tried. The question is this then. Is Jesus raised? Then where's man? What did Jesus say he was? Law. And in need of saving. And in need of following the truth. If you abide in my word, then truly you are disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John chapter 8, verses
31.
Well, that's what there is. Because that's a lot of.
Have you noticed?
Have you noticed? And that, where does it come from? Now, where does it come from?
It comes from man.
But why? Because they don't believe Jesus.
Right.
They say, oh yes, I believe in Jesus. He's the Savior. He's wonderful. He's the little baby in the manger. He's the one with the three wise men working to give. And
why the shepherd?
The question is this. Do they believe that he is the one whose word they must respect? The one who also said, except you and me and you follow me, you will be cast out with his weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do you respect him? They don't want to think of him as a little baby in a manger. They don't hurt anybody. They don't want to think of 2 Thessalonians and other passages that say he's going to be coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and who have not obeyed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In obedience to the gospel of God. For what? For what? From verse 8. No, from verse 8 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. It's important. Obedience to the gospel is important for what? Avoiding something. Avoiding when Jesus comes in flaming fire, taking vengeance. There's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews 10 verse 33. Could a person be preaching the Bible faithfully? Don't bring up those passages about hellfire. Oh, he's just an old hellfire brimstone preacher. But Jesus said there was a need for that. I'll tell you what, it may be the only thing that gets your butt moving. It's the only thing that got my butt moving. When it's all said and done and all the rewards couldn't compare, because I couldn't imagine them, couldn't compare with the good time I was having now. and getting drunk on New Year's and getting plastered and beating up people and doing all the other things and thinking the things I was thinking and wanting to carry on the relationships I was carrying on. When it was all said and done, and all these things looked better than heaven to me, hell was still too hot. I knew fire meant. I've been burned. And like my children, I only need to be burned once. Know to avoid it. My son only touched that. People ask me, what about your children? My son only touched that wood stove once. And Tina will only touch it once. But once she touches it, that will be the last time, unless she's pushed into it. But you can't say the devil. But you can't say the devil made me do it. Now, one more question. One more answer. They do Christian things. They do good things. To answer that question, what will Satan's ministers transform themselves into? Ministers of? No, angel. He transforms himself into an angel of light. He'll look like Jesus. Ministers of righteousness. What's righteousness? Righteousness is the same word translated from the word goodness, justice. Righteousness, goodness, and justice are all the same word in the Greek.
Oh, yeah.
True
or false?
No, I know. I'm not asking for approval here. I was asking for a response saying, that's right, we remember. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Amen, walls and electric light. Okay.
Righteousness, justice,
goodness.
Righteousness, goodness, justice.
All the same. All the same.
I can preach like Billy.
Okay, now.
Billy! Billy Graham.
The way he preaches. He's boring. Freaking boring. Point. So what are they going to transform themselves into? That's 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. Chapter 11.
Verse 13 through 15.
Yeah. Yes, I'm sorry. Well, I'm referring to the whole thing, 13 through 15. Beginning of verse 13. It starts there. For such a false. And then it'll go on to say, since Satan transforms himself into an angel of light, it's no great wonder. Don't wonder about it. Don't be bewildered about it. Don't be amazed that his ministers also, his servants, his deacons, diaconos, shall transform themselves into what? Ministers, servants of... Are they going to do good things? And what are they going to do eventually? What's their goal, though? Who are they serving? No, Jesus. Come on, they're doing all those good things. Doesn't it become an issue of them versus the Bible? Us versus the Bible, what we'd like to think versus the Bible? Yeah. Is this helping me? I hope you don't feel like I'm picking on you. I'm using it as a class example because we've all been there. I'll tell you what, and some of us are still here.
I like to dance though.
You're gonna go home to Judy and say, "No." I went through. Obviously, we are the people in the group need it. Obviously, we need the refresher. It's good. I need it. Let me tell you this. I think about it. I've thought about it in the past. Am I just pushing things too hard? The only thing that comes back, if I want to, I pull out the Bible, I look at it and go, no, obviously not. That's right. I'll listen to this before I listen to anybody, anything, including myself. Otherwise, I get into... Look at the trouble I'd get into. Can you look at the trouble I would get into? Watch this. So I say, okay, I've been... You hear John, he comes back from school and he finds out I'm working as an associate in the city with Are you happy so and he comes back and he sees me with this big pile of hair on my head. All plastered down,
the green mind guy.
Big white, big light blue suit, like the color of Loretta's jacket. And a big, bright, magenta tie.
Yeah, right.
And a hot pink tie, you know.
And I'm talking like this, and I'm
batting people in the head, taking my frustrations, and I think they get plain in the spirit.
Yeah, yeah, the monkey you love, dear mother. What's the matter with
you? Okay, now, I go, and I got a yellow house and a green Cadillac. Now,
She's picking on
you. Yeah.
You
know? She ain't
that looking for.
She don't even know. She didn't pick it up.
Yes, I did.
No. I wasn't thinking that time. She picked that up. But that's why I just finished. Not about Italian.
No, picking on
No, I wasn't picking anybody.
Yeah, I wasn't.
What were you describing?
The Pentecostal minister.
I know.
What's his name?
No, that's the way
he did
it.
But it happens to be in Italian, so there I go.
It just had to work out. I mean,
I guess you kind of stayed there.
Yeah. So anyway, the point is, you find out that I'm doing that. And what happens is, it's because I... Well, that would be the natural conclusion of saying, right, you know, I'll give you the picture. Right? Why not? Well, if I thought that, and I'm being too, you know... I'm saying other people lost their existence. Yeah, they just got their messed up on interpretation of prophecy. You know, they're trying to go to the same place. So, why not go where I can do my figure the most amount of people, I'll go there.
No,
all right, well, hang on, let me finish the illustration. So I'm there, and I want to believe I'm preaching the Bible. I mean, at the same time. So then John comes back from school, and he says, well, Ted. Now, Ted still always wants to be right. Ken's going to go to the verse. And 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10. Well, I don't know if I can do that. I'm pretty far gone. But say for some reason I did that. John would show me a verse. I would have to say, to Ken, you know, I have to respond the way he does.
The letter of the law kills.
But the Spirit gives life.
What he? Was that false? I think you were talking about me.
No. Okay, I'd have to respond. But John, my position would have to be one of contradiction with the Bible, the version I'm trying to preach. And so my response would have to be either humble obedience and repentance, or he gives away from me. Right? Or I'll talk to you some other time. But it's not going to be one of, hey, this is fantastic. I'm really enjoying this Bible study. Because every page is a conviction. Has we heard? So the point is this, wait. It's like someone who falls away, and I envision it. Members of the church who are falling away. Even Randy, Bob. Getting into a religious discussion with somebody on a job. Them knowing the truth, and then Bob knows enough to, probably still knows enough to at least, you know, say, you know, that's wrong, and why? Well, this, that, and the other thing. What's right? Well, this Church of Christ. So why aren't you doing it? I want a couple of weeks off. Good. God will give you a couple of eternities off some good for bad behavior. Take a couple of weeks off?
No.
How many
people
they were
I knew that.
But what does that do to the power of what you got to say? I mean, he's going to come back and say, well, what's the matter with you, Turkey? Right. And why aren't you going?
Yeah, well,
I think, as a matter of fact, what your mother asked you, didn't she? She said, well, if you believe it, it's the problem, why don't you go?
No, she
has to. Somebody said that to you. Well, somebody, I love the way one wants to be called a drug law.
Okay. To be a nice guy,
you know,
not
be the violence. Okay. Now, the point is, well, that's the opposite of his mother's point, really. I said, would you rather your daughter go out to bars, get picked up by all kinds of sleepy guys and everything?
Yeah, have a good time.
Well, the question is, do we answer the question? What is the question?
That's the question.
No, the question is, does sincerity mean anything? Yeah, it does when you're in the truth. You gotta be sincere about the truth. Okay, but I think otherwise, what counts then? Loving God with your whole heart, soul, and mind. What do you ask a person to become a Christian? They gotta sign everything over to the Church of Christ at Bayshore. Well, if that's true, then a whole lot of people haven't done it. What do you gotta do? Sign everything over to God. In blood. Whose blood? That's your own. And you sacrifice yourself. You die, don't you? When you put it under the baptistry, when you put a chalk under your head. No, we don't. You're crucified with Christ. Right? Didn't we learn that? Gary, you pulled out that baptism thing. That little baptism test your salvation. And what happens? Where do we die? Don't we die? It's a death. Well, if we die to ourselves, live to Christ, if Christ has got you, does he got your cross? You got your hat? For whatever he needs it for. Does he have you? And now, if he doesn't have your car, if he doesn't have your clothes, if he doesn't have your time, if he doesn't have your money, does he have you? Does he have everything that's yours if he doesn't have... If he doesn't have everything that's yours, does he have you? Can he have you without yours? Tell you what, you got me, you got mine. Sort of that. So... And the other thing is the same. If he don't have yours, he don't have you.
He still owns everything.
We're talking about our giving it.
Right.
Sure. And we're talking about devotion now, use, and so forth. Let's finish then, in the light of this, Matthew chapter 5. We'll finish it. Yeah. Matthew 5, verse 10. Now, Gary and maybe a couple others, Donna and maybe, was not here last Friday, and we, I think, and Lori, and Dave.
No, I was off this morning.
Okay. Did you get a chance to study this?
I did. See? Like my patio.
Okay.
So the kids know.
Blessed means what?
True happiness.
True happiness. Happiness is being poor in spirit. You were for those first few.
Yeah.
You were here. All right. We covered right up to verse 9 since you've been gone. Because one Friday we had off, and the next Friday we did something else, and then I did. I taught this last week. Began again. All right. Now. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There's a progression. Being poor in spirit makes way for being mournful about your condition. Being mournful about your condition makes way for yielding yourself to God, for bringing your power or God's power under control, or under God's control, you being under God, your power under God's control. This brings way to hungering and thirsting after righteousness, because if you're under God's control, without hungering and thirsting after righteousness, let me tell you something. Without wanting to do right, do good, righteousness, without wanting to do that, where does that control go? How do you express it? In other words, you say, I want to be under God's control, but you're not hungering and thirsting after righteousness. That's almost a that's got to be a contradiction. Isn't it? Because how can you be under God's control without knowing? Without knowing what He wants. There's the hungering and thirsting after righteousness then. His will. To do His will. This brings way to, therefore, to being merciful to others. If you want to receive mercy from Him, what will that do? Produce in you a pure heart. Which will also then be a, make you have peace between you and God and make you a peacemaker between God and man. Now, does the world teach that true happiness comes from being poor in spirit and hungering and thirsting and mourning and being meek and being merciful and pure in heart? Does the world teach that? No, it don't. No, it don't. I'm watching. I'm not reading. I remember it. Okay? The world doesn't teach that. I'm telling you what religion today doesn't teach. Christianity teaches, if they teach the Bible. This will make way for the next one. These, now watch this. Poor in spirit paves the way, produces, makes it possible to what? Mourn. Mourning makes it possible to be gentle. Being gentle makes it possible to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness makes it possible to be merciful. Each without the other is an impossibility. It is what makes it possible to be pure in heart. Makes it possible to be a peacemaker. Makes it possible to be persecuted. That's where we're all going. Right from the very beginning. And persecuted for the sake of righteousness. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed. The world teaches that when you're really persecuted, man, then you're really happy. I'm telling you what some Christians know. And Jehovah's Witness to be more. And they're lost. They're the only ones who begin to understand that there's this passage about being really happy about being persecuted. Because there have been people in this congregation who are so frustrated by persecution and so resentful about it. I'm not telling them whether they're here or not. I'm not going to say whether they're members that are still here, whether they were here, or what. But I know people. We all know people who resent persecution. Don't appreciate and are not truly happy with it. But they're looking for another kind of happiness. Not the true happiness that comes from above. But with the true happiness that comes from above, are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. 1 Peter 3:14 is in the morning. Count it all joy. You are indeed blessed. You are indeed happy. I was thinking of my whole temptations and trials. No, that's 1 Peter. No, that's James 20. Oh, yeah. James. Chapter 1, verse... count it all joy, my brethren, when
fall into manifold temptation. That's James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 2.
Oh, there you are. Consider it all joy, my brother. You know what I was reading?
Further down.
Yeah. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, verse 12. Mm-hmm. All right. Count it all joy, my brethren, when it recorded, I couldn't find it. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And you want that? Blessed are you. Blessed are you. Dave said to me the other day, I said, no, yeah, I want you to pray for patience. I said, yeah, I can do that. She said, I don't want to. Yeah, we do. Yes, we do. You want to do it? You don't want to have a perfect blessing? You don't want to be perfect?
Yeah.
You don't want to be blessed? For there's the kingdom of heaven. You don't want that. Right? Is there any way the kingdom of heaven apart from the book of the verse? Look at the verse. And I'm telling you what, this persecution is not only what you're thinking it is, it's more. And by the way, verse 10, being persecuted brings way for the next possibility, which is being reviled. And that brings way for the next one.
The great joy of God. For your reward in heaven is great.
For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you, which breaks way for what then? Being false. Being false to this. For being what? For being wise. For being wise. Okay? And that, there's a progression. There's a natural progression again. All these things are in a progression. These attitudes must be according to what Jesus said here. Can you be have the true happiness without being torn through? Can you have the true happiness without being persecuted? I know some people think it can. Isn't it a continual test by the rest of them? I mean, isn't that why Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, I think it is, that he says, to you, to them it's a sign of perdition, but to you, it's a sign of your salvation or a token of your salvation, and that from God. Yes. Yeah. And in no way being alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 28. And 2 Timothy 3.12 says, they who live godly in Christ Jesus must suffer persecution. Right. Didn't say they will want to bow in there. Question. According to there, then, you want to be the light of the world. You want to be part of that. Sitting in the center of the hill cannot be taken. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. But before that can come, you need to be salt. Before that can come, you need to be reviled. Before that can come, you need to... In other words, it's a progression there. Which one makes way or makes possible in it. And you wonder why sometimes you haven't been fruitful. You wonder why... Some people have wondered why they're not hungering and thirsting like they need to. I think of the Beatitudes and I think, okay, what's the one before hungering and thirsting? Oh, that's right, that one is being meek, but being under God's control. Well, then you're not under God's control. You haven't put yourself under His control. Well, if they haven't done that, why haven't they done that? What? Yeah, haven't they done that? Why haven't they done that? You want to put us there. Goes right back to that again. They realize you really don't think the sin is so bad. Or that you're such a bad thing. Let's look at the religious world. Let's tie it back to the original discussion that's been concluded.
Sure.
Now, I'm going to try to make it concluded. Matthew chapter 5. Let's tie in what we studied tonight. But what about all those people out there? Let me ask you. Are they the light of the world? In their error? In their religious confusion? In their disobedience to God and the gospel? Are they the light of the world? But are they? Satan's transformed himself into an angel of darkness. Light. No, come on. Satan can't do that. Only Jesus is light.
Satan did a pretty good job. Well, Satan transformed himself into an angel of light.
What did Galatians chapter 1 say? To change the gospel just a little bit. And then the illustration of the cyanide or the rat poison or the arsenic, whichever I decide to use. I've used it, I think, everybody in this room. Give you a glass of water. Pure, life-giving. Drink it. Great. So the gospel. Eternal life. Drink of that water, you're never thirsty. Put one drop of cyanide. Drink it. I couldn't find one person in this room being willing to drink. That would be wrong.
Huh,
but religiously, they'll say, give me your Bible. Oh, I'm going to write some of that. Where's the catechism? Well, Moon's Manual, called The Divine Principle. Or the Watchtower Magazine. Or something you got to watch it for. The Gospel Advocate and the Third Foundation. Or whatever. Or the Westminster Confession of Faith. They'll do it. And they'll think I'm crazy for going to put past this around. What do you think? I'm crazy? I wouldn't drink that. I like it when I have a real violent medicine or something with me so that people can't tell what I'm putting in there. And really think, rat poison. Yeah. Or at least they're not convinced that it's entirely in. And they're not going to drink in any case. Now, I can tell you what's in there. What are you drinking?
No way.
Okay, what's getting better for me now? A little bit more water in. Can you drink it? No. Man, that cup would have to be down, clean, and be sterilized before you drink out of it. I mean, if you want a new cup. I would. I wouldn't dare drink out of that cup. I mean, maybe after it was in a dishwasher or on a sanitizer, even then, I don't know. Maybe a trace was in the dishwasher. Probably wouldn't drink or eat off another plate or cup that was in there. Exposed to it. But you'll do it religiously? Let me ask you something. If there isn't the kingdom of heaven, from the scriptures we've studied, is there the kingdom of heaven? From the other passages early in the evening, we determined that theirs is not the kingdom of heaven. They're not saved. They're not in Christ. They're following his doctrine, his truth, obedient to his way, of faith, so on and so forth. Okay, we've established that. Is a person in a denomination, in a division, saved? Is that Christianity? Is Lutheranism Christianity, according to the Bible? Do you see that? You agree? Okay. I just want to make sure everybody agrees. You agree? Okay. Everybody agrees. Lutheranism is not Christianity. Okay. How about Catholicism?
Well, they broke away from the Catholic.
Catholicism. Hail Mary, Mother of God, full of grace, pray for us in this moment. Paying for the forgiveness of sins, huh? One mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. First Timothy chapter 2. Alright, let me tell you, did they depart from the faith?
No.
Well, long, long, long ago, if you trace it back, yeah, they depart from the faith.
Maybe.
Some shall depart from the faith, teaching, following seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Question, okay, now, let's establish then that those that are in the religious world who say, talk about Jesus, who follow an angel of light, and are watching ministers of righteousness. You see the passages I'm referring to? Yeah, they're watching ministers of righteousness using Jesus' name, and in Jesus' name they said they were going to what? Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, cast out demons in your name, and in your name doing many wonderful miracles? And they're doing all these things in your name, Jesus. So they were to use Jesus' name. Satan's transformed himself into an angel of light. His ministers, the ministers of goodness, justice. That's who they are, righteousness, who they appear to be serving. What they appear to be serving. Why should they beware? They come to you in, or they come to you in wolf's clothing. Or their fangs are showing. Come to you in sheep's clothing. Inwardly, they are waiting for that battle for all, waiting for all. Seeking you.
What does that mean?
Satan. What?
What does that mean?
I don't know.
I know what that but, I mean, what kind of person does that mean then?
Oh, Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa? No, the one that just won the Nobel Peace Prize.
Somebody said,
what? Whoa, Robert, Billy Gray.
Oh, yeah, I know, but...
Jimmy Swaggart.
That's what they are.
Rex Humboldt.
What goes on inside the death of George? So the Bible is in the inside.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah, I can't look into the man otherwise. Somebody say, how can you say that? I'm not saying it. That's the whole point. Did I just build this big case from nothing? That's what I've got to keep answering to myself when I'm in my bed and this unfaithful brain of mine is begging me to reject this whole thing and stop fighting people. And I'm not having serious doubts about my faith. I'm just letting you know. But there are times when you will. Maybe me never again. I don't know. I'm not going to take your stance, take your lesson for all. When you will wonder if you're just pushing things a little bit too much, taking a mountain out of nowhere, taking my life. Get those little topical studies out about the heart, the truth, and doctrine, and obedience. And now, let's look at their heart. I mean, let's really look deep inside of them. Look at the if theirs is not the kingdom of heaven, Father, have they really been poor in spirit? Blessed are the poor in spirit, so theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There's a guarantee there. Part of the progression, but it's, I mean, you take that verse and think. Are they truly blessed? No, they don't have true blessedness. Would you say that a non-Christian has the true happiness from above? No. A non-Christian does not have the true happiness from above, let me tell you. What the Bible tells you. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, I can tell you. I can tell you the Bible is okay. I wouldn't look forward to converting you and seeing you now. Blessed. So what does it say about them being poor in spirit? You're going to say, well, they're poor in spirit. They're just not blessed. They're not cares about the kingdom of heaven. Well, that's a new trick. Well, she's really humble. Well, she's really mournful of her condition. Really, guys? Honestly? Really, sincerely? Or does she just appear that way to you? Are you able to know her heart? Or does God know her heart? You're proposing. You know it. No, no, no. I'm proposing that I can know it if I read the Bible, and the Bible is exposed from my nephew who's got 4 verses 12 and 13.